Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Romans, the 4th chapter, please, beginning with the 17th verse and continuing through the 25th verse, the end. Romans 4:17 through 25. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are, which be not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake only that it was imputed to him, but for us to whom it was imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered of our offenses and was raised again for our justifications. May God add his blessings to the warming of your heart. Amen. A lot of preparation goes into this season. Every time you look up, they're either stringing lights or they're doing something. You look around and there's stuff all over the yard that wasn't there 2 or 3 days before. Every time you turn around, you see another thing happening. And grocery stores are full of people and the carts are packed to the top. You almost think something must be happening. Sometimes I think we get more excited over a time with a tree and presence, then we get excited over the real issue that God is trying to show us in these times of his celebration. Our scripture reading we read to you today was taken from Romans, and it speaks of a man called Abraham, shocking as it might be, that Abraham was kind of the beginning of what will happen for quite a few times of our life. I'd like for you to turn back with me. That is in the 4th chapter, of Romans. Of all the people in the Bible that really wanted a family, Abraham's desire to have a child was great. It was also a great desire of Hannah that she might have a child that she could give back to the Lord. In Abraham's condition, he was well stricken in his years, and his wife Sarah was well into her years also. We think about something not happening. They would have to adopt, or otherwise, he'd have to find another wife to have a child by so he could have an heir. And that happened. Actually, Hagar, his wife handmaiden, became the wife to him and a mother to a son called Ishmael. But it wasn't the real promise of God. It wasn't the real thing that God said that he was going to perform, that of his own body and of his wife Sarah would be coming one that would be an heir or be a son to his family. Now, we all have enduring thoughts about having children and having a family. And when we first get married, we're excited about the idea that soon and very soon there'll be another little creature in the family that will be somewhat like his dad and somewhat like his mother, but hopefully would be someone that would be what God would have them to be. Abraham was a man who saw the future through faith. Many of us look at the future sometimes and we shake our heads whether it's ever going to happen the way we think it's going to happen. In fact, sometimes we despair over the thought of what might really happen in the future, not only of our lives, but the lives of our children.
In Abraham's case, he says in 4 and 18, he says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. We have faith. It's the kind of faith sometimes that makes you realize that you are totally different from everybody else. Because the majority of faith today people speak of, it speaks of not the earth as the future home for the saints, but somewhere else. And a faith sometimes that speaks not of a God that truly is the Holy One or the Yahweh or the Jehovah God, it speaks of a God that has more than one self, but also two others. But you come here this day and you come to worship the only true God and His Son Jesus Christ, whom He has raised from the dead. That is the faith that the Bible speaks of. That's the faith that speaks of this gentleman that we're talking about to you now, that is bringing on what you are coming into in this season, this year, and this time, is brought on by a man who had extraordinarily faithful attitudes towards God and God and His faith. He said, who against hope believed in hope. When something looks impossible, is it always impossible? When it looks like it might never happen, will it really happen? He says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, if you're standing outside sometime and the Lord says, look out here, your seed are going to be numbered more than the stars, you think, huh? Your seed is going to be numbered more than the stars. And he says, can you count the grains of sand down by the seashore? He said, your seed will number as the grains of sand down by the seashore. Now, could you believe out of your family would exactly come, what did he say here? A father of many nations. That your whole, the aspect of your life would spread out so far and so much farther and so much farther than you ever anticipated in your life. Abraham believed this. And the Bible said, according to that which was spoken, so shall it be. God spoke it. Will it not be when God speaks it? When God speaks the word, will it not happen? If God says, let there be light, do you believe that there was light when God said, let there be light? I believe there was. And I believe He separated the firmament, and I believe He did all this stuff. I believe He created the whales that are 60-some feet long, and I believe He created the tiniest little creature on the earth, just so tiny that you have to get a microscope to see Him. I believe God created that too. Now we have to consider faith in ourselves as the next step towards this process of coming in to know God's plan for not only us, but the plan of God for the future and forever. Listen. And being not weak in faith. You know, one thing that really surprises me today is that people's faith is not strong like it was years ago. You know why I think that? Because people don't speak of their faith no more. They speak of all the calamity. They speak of all the stress. They speak of all the despair. They speak of all the things that are wrong and sinful. But where do they speak of their faith? Do they speak of it sincerely and deeply? And do you talk of it and speak of it often? Is it an issue in your life that you never fail to say something about? Listen here. And not being weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now think about that. Stars of heaven, sands by the seashore, promise made by God of your family. You are now 100 years old and your wife is 90. The physical aspects of that says it won't happen. The physical aspects of that says that are we going to see a life come from one of the ladies in the churches who's well stricken in years? Not likely. Because it's not the thing that happens. But Abraham didn't stagger to promises of God. When you look at something, when God says it, do you believe it so much that you don't waver or stagger or move away from it? The Bible tells me when you set your feet steadfast in the faith once delivered to the saints, and when you set your body towards that feeling and your heart towards God to believe that God can do anything at any time, you have to believe exactly what Abraham believed. Go back to him again. He staggered not the promises of God through unbelief. You know what staggering is? You ever watch the fellow that's about two sheets in the wind trying to get somewhere? It's two steps forward and one step backward. That's what's wrong with the majority of Christendom today, and the majority of Christianities are staggering at the promises of God. They're not taking these things to heart. They're not really applying their faith as Abraham applied his. We come into a season where we need to accept what God has promised and believe what God has promised and act accordingly. He staggered not at the promises of God, but through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith. Next step towards making things happen for God is to be strong in faith. The devil wants you to think everything's impossible. He wants you to think that nothing can be made impossible. But you know something? The Bible tells me that God does His greatest works on the impossible things in our everyday life. Here you have a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, and the promise is stars of heaven, sand by the seashore. If you can number them, that's your seed. You think about that for a minute. That's just like laying one penny right here and God telling you that's going to turn into $1 billion. Somebody says, that's crazy, preacher. Not when God's involved in it. Nothing is out of the ordinary, or nothing is too great for God to do. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Next step, giving glory to God. When you have true faith and your faith is really outstanding for God, you're already glorifying Him before what He's going to do, because the program's already started. Do you know that some of the things that you ask God, He's already started them? They've already started before you even opened your mouth? You know that. Before you even opened your mouth, before you even uttered a word, do you know God's already been starting the program or starting the thing that's going to happen in your life? He's already started that thing. Somebody says, He has not. He had already started it with Abraham. Long before that old boy stood out there and looked northward, southward, eastward, and westward, God had already started the program with him. Did he consider Sarah not able to have a child? If he had thought about 90 years old, he would. Did he consider the deadness of his own body? If he had, he wouldn't have believed the promises of God, believe what God told him. And most of all, he wouldn't have believed in what God could do. Do you believe what God can do? We've all got things that we pray for every day. And as I look at this scripture, and the more as I've looked at it and read it over and over again, the more I consider that some things that I think cannot be fixed, the realization is only God can fix them. God is the only one that can fix them. Could God fix Abraham's body so he could father a child? Amen, he did. Could he fix Sarah's body at 90 years old so she could have a son and call him Isaac? Can he fix you so you can be a greater Christian and a better child of God, a better father, a better mother, a better person all the way around? Can he fix your life in such a way that you can be exactly what God wants you to be, to do the things that God wants you to do? The first thing that comes out of people's mouths before, and I've been in church meeting after church meeting after church meeting, the first thing that comes out is, this is not going to happen. The next words is, we've never done it that way before. You know, I don't think people have done anything God's way for a long time. I think they have been preoccupied with doing their way so much and doing what they want to do that they have totally forgot how God does His business. He goes on to say this. He's giving glory to God. He is strong in faith. But in verse 21, he said, being fully persuaded that he that had promised, he was able to perform. You tackle a problem without God, you are going to fall on your face. You tackle a problem without having God on your side through Jesus Christ, you're going to splatter like a fresh egg. You are not going any place or anywhere. You're going to flatten out right where you are. Abraham knew God. He had stood in that plain and listened to the voice of God tell him of the promises of God. He not only saw the land, he saw the future that God had promised him. It was not only the Canaan land that he looked at. He was looking into the eternity of God when he was going to walk through the length and the breadth of the land. Do you see yourself walking through the kingdom? Do you visualize yourself walking into New Jerusalem? I know you think I'm crazy, but that's all right. There's only a higher line between crazy and smart. I am standing smack dab in the middle with one foot on one side and one foot on the other side and the happiest little man you'll ever meet in your life. Partly insane, almost crazy. But believing that God can do something that I cannot do. Being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able to perform. Did he see that sand by the seashore turning into a seed? Yes. Did he see the stars of heaven, the multitude of them, turning into a seed? Yes. Did he see the kingdom of God and the new heavens and the new earth and the land where he could walk through the length and the breadth of it? Yes. Did he see all that God promised in God's eternity for him? Did he see that? Yes. Sometimes we kind of move back, we don't move forward. We kind of step back and we try to view everything from back here when we should step up here and take God's view of what is going on. Abraham did that. We talk Abrahamic faith. You know they will not like me sign my mail thing in. I signed it in one day to Church of God of Resurrection Hope. Do you know what they done? They sent it back to me. You didn't put your whole name in there. I said, what did I do wrong? What's that thing that's written right under your name of your church? I said, Abrahamic faith. That's right. You didn't put the whole name up there. And we can't mail it without the whole name. So you got to take it back and do the whole address all over again so we'll mail your stuff. You know what I think we're really into? We like that name of Resurrection Hope Church up there, but I think the one thing that we're not really applying to it is what's written underneath, Abrahamic faith. Because that's exactly what rings the bell. It's Abraham's faith. He started this thing. Somebody says, what? Do you know of Abraham and his seed out of the loins of David? Do you know all this stuff that says the promises of God where Jesus would come from? I sat there in my living room, my kitchen the other day, listening to all the lineage of the house of David and the lineage of the house of David and Mary's side. These two people came today. Together, they were actually both of the house of David. Abraham again. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. He believed God could do what he just said. He believed that out of his body would come a seed that would actually come into existence through the womb of his wife Sarah. He believed out of that child was going to bring a great existence of people of faith all over the world, that you couldn't number the stars and you couldn't number the grains by the seashore. He believed that. Do you believe that? Do you look in the face of this and do you believe that? He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Scary business, isn't it? You know what's scary business? It's because you don't have enough faith to believe in God's impossibles. You know what's really the scary business? You don't have enough faith to believe that God can do things, great things in this place, in your life, in your home, in your family. You won't take the change when you should be getting the $1 million. You won't take the change, the small stuff. You won't take the little stuff, the stuff that makes a noise. You won't take that more than you want to accept God's faith through Jesus Christ and take the grand prize. Walked into a place the other day. I was buying gas. This guy comes in. He says, "I want that $1 million ticket." That lady says, "I don't know whether I've got one for you or not." He says, "I still want the $1 million ticket." I started to go out to the truck and get him my Bible and show him where the $1 million was, but he was in too big a hurry. He bought his ticket and took off like Snyder's house cat. Because I and you know where the $1 million is, and we know where the life is, and we know what the future holds, and we know what the kingdom of God can be, and we know what the end of this life can be, and we know all the joys of salvation, what it can be. But the thing you must have is what this gentleman has here. Because he started the process a long time ago. Verse 23. "Now it was not written for his sake only, but it was imputed unto him." This thing wasn't written just for this, for Abraham's sake, or for Paul's sake, or for the church at Rome's sake. This thing was written for you and me to understand what God can do is the impossible. And what are you standing? Sometimes we stand in our place, and even I do it. I'm guilty as you are. Because sometimes I'm not as Abraham was. I'm not as ready to believe in the impossible that Abraham was. But the more I'm convinced is that the thing about it is that if you don't have your faith in God through Christ Jesus, you are going to be a loser. Is Abraham going to be a winner? You will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of your father, and you yourselves were cast out. Talking to the Jews. Thank him for that. But he also says in verse 24, he said, "But for us alone, to whom it is shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up," what? "Jesus our Lord from the dead." You know who Abraham really is? Who Jesus really is? Turn over here to me in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, please. It won't hurt your fingers to... That's that old song, the phone company said, "Let your fingers do the walking." "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ," here comes the good part. "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Do you see Abraham's seed growing? "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. You know, it's not your righteousness that makes you righteous before God. It is the righteousness of God that you have by faith in Christ Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead. When you begin to look at what he's saying, and you begin to hear about the faith that's happening up here that made all this come to be. Do you know if that man didn't have no faith, the plan of God would not have been what it is today? But he did have faith. And what did he do? He being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, and when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider any of this. The only thing he considered was that God says, Abraham, you are going to have a son. And that son is going to be a son of you and your wife Sarah. When we look at this and we see the plan moving forward with God's purpose and plan in it, the realization is this. He says that you and I can be just like this man and a part of the plan that God put in him and made for him, and not for him only, but for all of us, the whole world, not only the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And over here in Galatians, he said, bond free, male, female, all this stuff, Jew, Gentile, whatever it might be. He says, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And then if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and what? Heirs according to the promise. You won't hear this down the road. You won't hear this over here in town. You won't hear it on the corner anywhere else. You won't hear nobody telling you about the faith of Abraham that started this whole thing that you call the birth of Christ. Do you know that? This whole thing started because a man believed God that him and his wife would have a son. And out of that son and out of his descendants and out of all of his people would come one Jesus Christ the Lord. A little Jewish girl, she stands in the presence of the angel and she says, he said, that Holy One shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Do you believe it started with one old man standing out in a plain somewhere? Do you believe it started with one man and one woman, Abraham and Sarah? Do you believe that God purposed this thing through those people and through the lineage of David and through the lineage of the Jews and through all the lineage of these things to bring it down to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born in Bethlehem of Judea and who died on a cross somewhere on an old place called the Skull to buy for you and me an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled in the kingdom of God? You know what's happened to modern religion today? They've took all this to heaven. It's not in heaven. It all happens here. The earth, what he says, what has he said? The earth has he given to the sons of men. This is our place. This is where we belong. And that's why we are so emphatic when we talk about the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom. Under the whole heavens that shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. That's why we're so emphatic about we're going to live here, not live there. We're going to live right here. And it's our job to go out and show everyone that believes that away how they ought to believe in God's plan that's here. Somebody says, well, they're such good people. There are a lot of good people in the earth. I'm positive of that. But there's a lot of good people that need to have the faith once delivered to the saints, the Abrahamic faith. Somebody says, you sound like you've got all the answers. No, I don't. I know where the answers are. I just simply tell you about them. I will not wring your arm or twist your arm or kick you in the pants, even though sometimes you need that more than you need anything else. In fact, like the guy who's on NCSI, smacks old, what's his name, in the back of the head, old Denozo, gets it all the time. I hope he's got insurance on the back of his head, because, excuse me. Mine hit me that time. Maybe that was an indirect blow from God. Maybe he came around front. He didn't have to go to the back. But are we really persuaded of this? And the thing about it is this all started right with Abraham and his descendants, and it has worked its way down to where we are today in the plan of salvation. Isn't it amazing? Now, the only thing that you need to realize is that God is not smiting you behind your head or hitting you like I hit myself. He's trying to get to your heart. And He's trying to get you to believe in what He can do if you believe in Him with all your heart. Do you believe Abraham believed God with all of his heart? I don't think there was a particle in his body that didn't believe what God could do. I don't think there was a insy-tinsy little bitty thing in his body that did not believe that God could do what God said He's going to do. Abraham, your seed will number like the stars of heaven. Think about that. Abraham, your seed is going to be like the grains of sand down by the seashore. Abraham, can you count the stars? Can you number the grains of sand? Somebody says that's impossible. It's innumerable. Do you know what you're dealing with here and who you're dealing with? You're dealing with God. His ways are what? Past finding out. Nobody don't understand this because they don't apply the faith of God that Abraham had to your life to become just like Abraham in his faith. And we all fall so short. That's the problem with our lives. We see something out here that's in front of us and it looks like it's not going to happen. Do you know the odds? The odds makers. You ever watch them people get on there sometime and talk about the odds makers? You know, the people that's going to predict who's going to win the ball game by 5 points, 10 points, and all this stuff. They call them the odds makers. And all they do is evaluate what happened in the past, a little bit what happened today and this stuff, and that's the way they get the odds. You know what? I'm basing mine on what God did in the past, what God has done in the present, and what God is shortly to do in the future. Or is yours? Do you have the faith that Abraham had? You look at the impossible. What does your God do with the impossible? You look at your life, can God do something great with you that's impossible? You ever ask Him to do that sometime? Use me, Lord, in a way that I can do something that is impossible for You. Isn't that amazing? It all happens when you believe like Abraham did. Let's go back just one time. In verse 20, and in our closing, this is our close of our message. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. But what? But was strong in faith. Strong in faith. May I say that again? Strong in faith. Giving glory to God. Abraham was glorifying God before it all even finished. Isn't that wonderful? His faith was so strong and he believed in it so much. He was so into his faith that he believed it was going to happen. And he glorified God as though it had already done and happened. You have that kind of faith? You'll scare the world to death tomorrow if you did. They won't know what to do with you tomorrow, because if you live like that, they'll be wondering who and you are. You're from another planet. You've got to be from somewhere else. You cannot be from here. Because your life is totally, totally a different life. Because you believe in the impossibilities. You want a life-changing experience? You want things to change? You've got to do the same thing this fellow did here. He's standing there. His legs are weak. He's getting to feel like 100 years old. I can imagine what I'd be like up here at 100 years old. I wouldn't be scooting around here and slapping my glasses off. I'd be up here, probably a walker, and kind of scooting it around here and doing this little tiny steps. You know, I can't fathom little tiny steps, but I guess I'll make them one day if I live long enough. Probably going around here just like this, scooting my walker along and talking like I'm doing right now. And would I be expecting to have a child by my wife if her well into her 90th year of life? Would I be expecting that to happen? When she's doing the same thing I'm doing, her body is as broken as mine is, and all the impossible things that's happening in our systems. Would you think an act of faith would change all that? It did. And because that act of faith came one Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, died a horrible death on an old rugged cross, who is coming with the clouds of heaven with 10,000 times 10,000 of His Father's angels. Look up, people. You are going to see the impossible, because Jesus came right out of the impossible to be your Savior, and He's coming with power to turn the world upside down and give you eternal life. Lord, I like being like I am. If you just leave me alone, I'll keep on going the direction I'm going, and I'll be just fine. Today it's not going to work. There are so many things in our way between us and the kingdom of God that we are going to have to fight every step of the way. It's not going to be something that you can just say, well, I'll make it by the skin of my teeth. The Bible said, if the righteous scarcely will be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? You know how I don't feel that I'm scarcely being saved? My Lord didn't do a partial job of dying for me. He didn't do a partial job of shedding His blood for my life and your life. And when they took Him down from that thing and He had no life in Him, He gave all of His life so I could be saved and you could be saved. And that morning when that stone was rolled away and the power of God came thundering from out of the presence of the Holy One, the God of all the ages, and God's power just roamed across His body, and life came into Him, everlasting life. This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go. Nobody wanted to believe in the resurrection. Paul stands there before the king and he tells him he had seen Jesus in the way, the one God, Son of God. He said, I saw Him in the way. He listens so intently to Paul. He listens to him. When Paul is finished, he raises his head up. He says, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. How far are you away from being what God wants you to be? Somebody says, you ought to hush, preacher. No, I can't hush. Because I know myself. If it's working on me, it's got to be working on you. And if He's talked to me, I know He's been talking to you. Now you do with Him what you please. As for me, before I came to this place today. I found my room again. I found my quietness with Him. And I raised my hands to Him to ask, Lord, You go before me this day. You go to Your house before I get there. So when I get there, Lord, they will know that You have been in Your house on this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again. We are so unworthy of the least of Thy kindnesses. And Lord, we are so mortal. Our craving, Lord, is to be like Your Son Jesus and to be Your sons and daughters forever and Your children forever. This feeling, Lord, it just has grasped us and just pulls us so strong in faith like it did Abraham. It's pointing our way towards a beautiful day in which we shall live eternally and forever in the kingdom of God. Lord, please, please touch every heart and every life in a way that pleases You. And let us have that faith, that beautiful faith that Abraham had, that we now have in Jesus.